Couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com, check out our website at geekworldradio.com, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So this has been a pretty special show.
Yes,
you know, we started
special.
Off. Yeah, it's been unique because we're out of town.
Yes, we're totally out of town.
We're across the country. We're in your hometown right now. We are like, and we've been like, you know, we went to Anabash in Rochester,
yeah,
New York.
That was a lot of fun.
It was really cool.
Had a lot of fun there.
Really cool. If you guys missed the first hour, you know, it'll be up on the podcast, but we talked about Anabash. It was a good time.
Definitely. And if you listen to Thursday and you missed the first hour, we'll listen Friday.
Yeah, seriously. So let's see. We had our exclusive interview with Max, your nephew.
My nephew.
Your brand new nephew.
Yes.
He's such a smart little one.
Yes. And all 4 months of experience under his belt.
I know.
Which, you know, nowadays is a lot.
Well, yeah.
It's a lot, you know, because kids, they grow up fast.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah.
Totally.
Big time.
And everyone, you know, it's all about the youth now,
yes,
you
he's
know?
He's already got a Facebook page.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, he's got...
He's tweeting,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally tweeting, yeah. I'm sure, you know, his Netflix queue is through the roof.
Right.
I mean, you don't even want to know his Xbox Live score. It's crazy. You just can't compete with kids nowadays. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It's crazy. Prodigies.
Prodigy. That's the best part. You know, when you have a kid, apparently, from people I know who've had kids, no matter what, like, everyone believes a kid is a prodigy.
Yeah.
Like, they do everything faster than any other
baby.
Yeah,
no other baby
anything.
Has ever done anything at this age.
Yes. I gotta say, though, Max is, like, he's not big, but he's, like, solid for a little kid.
He is, but you know what's hilarious about
him?
He comes off gigantic in photos and video.
Like,
he comes off ginormous.
Yes.
And it's not just, like, in comparison to your sister or your mom, who are both kind of smaller.
Yes, they're tiny people.
He just comes off like a gigantic baby, but he's not. He's a little baby.
He's a little baby, yes.
Yeah.
But he's a strong baby.
He is.
And
the force is strong with that one.
Very much so. Very much so.
But anyway, so, you know, we also talked about you and your youth. We read some of your lists from when you were 12.
Oh, yes. They were very exciting, yes.
Very impressive.
Yes. I think I liked Marvel Comics back then a little bit.
Mm,
and Image Comics.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, just tad.
Just tiny bit.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And now I think we're going to talk about, Torchwood.
Let's do it. Well, you know, I think a lot of you have probably seen at least one episode, if not, you know, the entire first three seasons of Torchwood.
Yes.
You know, of course, spinoff of Doctor Who, created by Russell T. Davies. You know, this is one of those great shows. A show actually we saw before we saw Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And Doctor Who is now one of our favorite shows. I would have to say that Doctor Who has transcended Torchwood for both of us because, you know, the thing is, Doctor Who is like, I mean, it's one of these epic stories that has gone on for so long now, ever since, what, 1963 or so. I mean, it's just this amazing character, and they came back in 2005, and it's just a great show. But, you know, that first season, thanks to Stephen Moffat, who now is the guy who runs Doctor Who, they came up with a character named Captain Jack Harkness.
Yes.
Who is, of course, John Barrowman.
Yeah.
Who is sort of like a 25th century James Bond.
I hear he's a... You know, they're. I don't know if it's him or you know, some people that are trying to get him to be, to maybe get on Glee at some point, which
would be
awesome.
Totally.
He's a stage actor too, which is super cool, like,
you know,
a singer.
I gotta say, I know a lot of people have certain problems with Glee, but that is one of the funniest shows on TV.
Really,
it's
is.
Really fantastic.
Did you hear that Jane Lynch is gonna host SNL?
No, that's gonna be awesome. Jane Lynch is awesome. You know, she deserves everything she gets. She works so hard. I mean, not only does she do all the movies and TV she does, but I was at the Honda dealership, right, getting like something on my car, and they had like Nickelodeon on or the Disney Channel on, and she was in like one of those movies with George Lopez. The woman never stops working.
That's awesome.
It's unbelievable. Totally awesome.
If I could vote for the Emmys, I would totally vote for her.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, she's a lock. I mean, if she doesn't win, there's a big problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine anyone else winning.
She's
great.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, probably the best single TV performance this year.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
well, except for. No. I was going to say Timothy Oliphant in Justified, but that's kind of the show. That's
the thing,
more the
yeah,
show
yeah.
than, like, he's awesome, but Jane Lynch is, like,
That's, like, her.
Well, Timothy Oliphant's helping bring the dude back. You know, like, the dude's kind of gone away for a little bit.
Not like the dude, like, the Big Lebowski dude.
Yeah,
but like,
he brought, exactly. He brought, He brought Jeffrey Lebowski back in a big way. Yes.
He brought dudeliness back.
Exactly. You know, I think that, you know, it's been gone for a little while. And the dudes, well, that's why there was that, like, resurgence of old guys kicking butt a few years ago. Because there's no, like, young doodly dudes. You know, we had to get... like Clint back, we had to get Sly back, you know, we had to get Liam Neeson and Tate in, but you know, Timothy Oliphant is just great. But yeah, I would say Jane Lynch is like kind of just like kicked everyone's butt this year. She's just like perfect for the role. It's just one of those roles, you know.
But we're actually back.
Let's get to British TV. Tangents. Yeah, and one of the really cool things about John Barrowman that's very unique for a British show is the fact that he was raised essentially in America.
Yeah, he was born, I believe, in the UK.
He was born in the UK, yes, but his parents moved him and his family to, I believe, Ohio when he was pretty young. So he spent, you know, all of his school years in America.
Yeah.
You know, which is really interesting because, you know, you have this British show that has a guy who's starring in it who's essentially, you know, a Yankee who's essentially American.
Yeah, and you know, it's not just a guy doing a really good American accent.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
A guy who actually talks
yes.
like that.
Or a guy doing a really bad American accent like that dude in Demons.
Yeah.
I still don't know what that idea was all about. Yeah.
I
mean, I get it. He's like a cool actor and everything, but like, I just don't get it.
I don't know.
I don't get it. Especially when we have John Barrowman now
as
sort of like the template of how that's supposed to go.
I love in the episodes of Torchwood where James Marsters is in them and like, you know, because James Marsters, he's been doing that fake fake British accent now for years.
Yeah.
The one that apparently Anthony had like beat into him to get right.
James Marsters is the only guy that's so beloved. He can go to do a show in England doing a fake English accent.
I know.
Is totally accepted for it because people just love Spike so much.
Yeah, I mean, Buffy is such a huge show everywhere.
Yeah, it was a great show. And he's, you know, he's awesome. He's
a
totally awesome guy.
Anyways, but speaking of James Marsters and his character of John Hart, Captain John Hart.
Yes.
There is actually rumors swirling and semi-confirmed that at least the character is kind of waiting in the wings, saying, you know, with the could definitely be showing up.
Well, I know what I read was that James Marsters said that he would love to come back and play the role again, and the character did not die at the end, as far as I remember, from the second season. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
And of course,
I read was from people that were working on the show,
and they were
saying like they weren't exactly confirming that they had locked him for any episodes or anything, but the confirmation was that they wanted to try and get him back. They wanted to try and bring the character in. So,
oh, that's,
you know,
very cool.
You know, if in case we're not going to get enough of him in Hawaii 5-0,
yes, yes.
Which will be awesome.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when he needs to take a break from trying to kill like a Cylon and trying to kill, you know, like a guy who's, you know, marooned on an island and trying to kill a vampire detective. I think when he can, you know, he needs to take a break from that. So, you know,
he can mess with a semi-immortal guy. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, you know, yes. Anyway. So anyway, the show is going to be called, or rather the fourth season of Torchwood is going to be called Torchwood, the New World.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you know, as a lot of people know, it's going to take place both in America and in the UK.
And they'll actually be shooting both places. They're not just going to pretend that somewhere is America or somewhere is the UK.
They're going to be shooting in Los Angeles and Cardiff. Yeah,
we got to find out
somehow.
Where.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we got to do it. We have no choice.
Oh, we are so getting in touch. BBC, we're getting
BBC
in touch
right
with you.
Now, right now.
Right this second. Ring, ring.
Stop the show just so we can call them right now. Yes. I'm sure everyone's awake right now in England. They probably are.
They might
actually.
Be.
It's
kind of
late where we are.
I don't
right
really
now.
Know the time differences anyway.
No idea. Who knows?
We don't understand time zones.
If you know what the time difference is between New York and the UK,
yeah,
right to Geek World. Yeah, he knows I'm a little tired. Yeah. Anyway, what they're planning on doing instead of doing, you know, an episodic type thing is they're planning on doing a one story arc, much like Children of Earth.
Yeah, self contained like 10 episode arc. I think
yes,
it is.
Yes, exactly. And it's going to be on Stars.
Okay, that's actually really good. Like we had been talking about this for a while when there had been rumors of them bringing Torchwood to Fox.
Yes,
And when we heard that, we were like, okay, well, you know, Fox, they've been kind of liberal in their programming in certain aspects, you know, like Dollhouse and stuff. You know, they let a lot.
They
you
let
know,
Joss do stuff.
Yeah. But we were like, but we're kind of worried about this. We're kind of worried that maybe it won't get to be what it what it really is. This, like, it won't get to be the way this show is supposed to be.
Yeah.
If they have it on Fox. And we had actually, I remember saying that maybe, you know, maybe, you know, an HBO or a Showtime or one of these stations that's putting out the original programming would be a better fit. And
you know what I'm thinking about? I believe the first, like, I did like an, my first blog post, real blog post on our blog was like an essay.
It was really good.
It was a dissertation, if you may. And it was about, if American TV was ready, you know, for, you know, Captain John Harkness.
Jack. Wow.
I know.
You are so tired. We have not slept in weeks.
A long time, yes. Are we ready? You know, basically, is America ready for essentially a bisexual superhero?
Or an omnisexual.
Yeah, or omnisexual is actually what it would be. Yes, exactly. And, obviously, Torchwood does really well in the U.S., but it's not an actual U.S. show.
Mm-hmm.
Go read that, because that's really good.
It is. And, yes. You can find it on our regular site, but I believe that we have our Doctor Who site might be a little easier to find.
Yes, definitely, definitely. What do we know about the show so far?
Well, we know that we know that there are some American agents that are like on the run and stuff, and they have to get in touch with Torchwood, with the people that are left from Torchwood, which is really Captain Jack and Gwen.
And
we're gonna get to meet Gwen's new baby, Gwen and Reese,
who I guess are kind of like a duo right now. They're like a crime fighting duo or something. But yeah, it's gonna be. Did you say it was a? I know it's a CIA agent.
I believe so.
And also an analyst.
Oh, okay, okay. And, so they're both. Yeah, they're both CIA. I just said agents,
yes.
But yeah, and the thing is that at this point, you know, Torchwood is all kind of like. It's whispers, you know, there's no one really knows if it ever really existed in the first place,
yes.
You know, and it's all in rumor and whispers. But these the agent and the analyst, the CIA, they have to find essentially Jack and Gwen and have them help, you know, have them come in and save the day.
There's going to be an impeding alien attack and hopefully, you know,
impending.
And hopefully they can, you know, hopefully they can save the day and hopefully. You know, Captain Jack doesn't have to sacrifice any of his progeny for it. So, you know, we can only hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. It's rough, isn't it?
It's so rough.
Well, it's funny because, you know.
God, they're so emotional.
I mean, Russell Davies is just great. I think Russell T. Davies is one of these great guys like Joss Whedon that, you know, creates these universes. And obviously he didn't create the Doctor Who universe, but his version of Doctor Who is, you know, was very different in many ways.
Different and yet so true to
it. Yeah, exactly. And the thing was, you know, he's such a fan, you know, and the fact that he said he had seen every single episode of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And that's difficult considering, you know, 200 or so or more are completely gone from the original series.
Yeah.
Because, you know about this, right? Like, basically back in the, you know, 70s or whatever, no one could see video cassettes and DVDs and Blu-rays.
And everyone
obviously.
Wanting to actually rewatch these shows. Like, who would have thunk?
No one had a TARDIS, unfortunately. No one could come from the future and go, hey, don't do this.
So
to save money, they just...
Darn would, you, Doctor. They, why didn't
yeah,
you do that?
Yeah, doctor, what are you doing? So, you know, what they... So, unfortunately...
That's pretty
good. Thank you. That's my...
That's your Amy Pond.
Yeah, I've been working on my
well
Amy
done.
Pond. Thank you very much.
Bravo.
Thank you. The master tapes got taped over
save
money.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't you just want to cry from that?
Really do.
What
yeah.
I love, though, is that, you know, some of them got taped over and some of them got tossed out and stuff. And so, like, you know, random ones were, like, found. Random, like, there are people that either taped them
yes.
off of things or maybe found, you
mm-hmm.
know, something in a dumpster
yeah.
or found some old tapes, like, hiding in the back of the tape library.
Oh, totally. It's like you know, unearthing, you know, like an original
treasure.
Copy of Citizen Kane or something. Yeah,
yeah,
it's true. There are some people out there that were fans that taped them off the TV that now, you know, are being... basically turned into DVDs that
Which
people
is
can have.
Awesome.
Totally.
Fantastic.
Great.
It's why we even have any of the Hartnell discs that we have practically. You
yeah.
know, it's oh man. And the fans, that's the thing. It's like the fans are such good fans.
I mean, the only thing you could compare in American TV to Doctor Who is like the Star Trek franchise.
Yes.
Like if you take the original series through Next Gen and all Deep Space Nine and everything like that, that's sort of American what you could compare to Doctor Who. You know?
Yeah.
It was the first really huge kind of awesome sci-fi show that, you know, I mean, there was a lot of sci-fi shows, I should say, before that, but it has influenced so many things, and
yeah.
it's such a great show. And, you know, Torchwood is just, is really brave and really cool, you know. It's difficult for us because I love Torchwood, and it
mm-hmm.
was the first one we got onto, and I think that it's really brave. I think it's really important. I think it's really,
yeah.
it challenges people, and it challenges, you know, people's hang-ups.
You know, it's funny, though. I remember when we first started watching it, how we always talked about how we loved how it gave us that kind of same feeling that, like, X-Files did, the kind of joy that we got from the supernatural, like, mystery show, you know, of finding out, like, what's going on with the, you know, with aliens or whatever. And but at the same time, because it's a, you know, a British show, they don't have the same kind of budget they do here in Hollywood, you know, not here. Over there, back home, yes. They don't have the same kind of budgets, and so we would always joke about how, you know, it was kind of kitschy how low budget some of the stuff was, but we actually kind of dug it.
Well, speaking
although
of that,
the second season definitely got
they got a way bigger budget. Well, it's funny because really, I remember we watched it from Torchwood from the beginning. The first episode was okay, but really the episode that for me like sold me, like I'm totally gonna watch the rest of this, was the episode with Yanto's girlfriend who had been turned into a cyberwoman. Now looking back, we know that that's when, you know, the Cybermen and the Daleks tried to take over in the end of the second season of Doctor Who.
We just referred to her as Yanto's robot girlfriend.
Yes, exactly.
We didn't really get it at that point.
We didn't understand what the Cybermen were.
So great to understand it now.
And I loved it because, you know, it was this really, really hot chick who was like half Cyberman.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, she was all clunky walking. I was like, oh my God, this is like the right kind of cheesiness and awesomeness that like I love.
Yeah.
And, you know, from there we just started watching it and it's a great show. And I think that Children of Earth, though, we have hang-ups on the end because, really, we're used to the traditional American movie ending, which is the good guy prevails no matter what.
Yeah.
And this was one of those things where, you know, which they like to do in Doctor Who's where, you know, good did win, but it paid a huge price.
Yeah, at a major cost.
And it was actually very, you know, realistic and very, you know, very gritty.
Oh my God, it hurt our hearts so much.
It was very difficult, you know, because, you know, you love these characters and you don't want this to ever happen to this character. But I have to say, like, what a great, like, oh, the bad guys are so good. And they have, like, the most...
And the reason, oh my God, it's
so
the most
freaky,
disturbing thing ever.
Yeah, the 4, 5, 6 are just some of the creepiest aliens ever.
We would like for you all to watch it because even if you don't watch, even if you've never seen an episode of Torchwood, which by the way you should, but even if you've never seen an episode of Torchwood, you should watch the Children of Earth miniseries. It's just incredible.
You know, I gotta say, I think we started watching Doctor Who by the time that Torchwood Children of Earth was on, but I don't think we had been very far in. I think we were only into like the beginning of the first season, or had we not seen it yet?
You know, I don't think we'd seen it at all yet.
Because I gotta say, I totally, like, now thinking back, like, imagine if you know, if you were in the know and had been watching Doctor Who. You gotta imagine all the people, like, when is the Doctor gonna show up to save the day?
Because that was the thing. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
We did not have that at all when we were watching it. We didn't get it. We were like, you know, we couldn't understand why Captain Jack couldn't get it done because he always seemed to get things done, but we didn't realize that, like, Captain Jack is as much dependent on the Doctor as he is on his own awesomeness.
Exactly,
man, it was so hard. But yeah, I think it was like after that we were like, we have to watch this Doctor, we have to know, we have to understand this, we need to understand why, you know, why they were waiting for the Doctor.
We have to
get this. And you know, that in addition to knowing that Billy Piper and Christopher Eccleston, we couldn't resist.
Oh, I know.
And then once we started watching, we were like, hey, why didn't we start watching this earlier?
Yeah,
what's wrong
with
us?
I know.
Actually, the reason that we didn't start watching it was because we didn't have access to it.
Yes.
It was actually around the time that that Children of Earth had just aired or was just going to air. That was when the first few episodes of Doctor Who started going on BBC On Demand.
Gotcha.
So we had to kind of wait until we were able to. Now we have Netflix and it's right there streaming.
Exactly.
So for all of you that have streaming Netflix, you can watch all your Doctor Who's.
Yeah, we implore you. If you like sci-fi, I mean, you have to watch it. It's just such a great show. And the Doctor is such... I mean, he's really one of those great role models for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really carry a gun. I think that you can count on your hand the amount of times he ever used a gun. It was never to kill or threaten somebody. It was always, you know, to use as a tool somehow to, you know, defeat the enemy. But it wasn't like an American hero who would
the only guy who would see a screwdriver and think, how can I make this more sonic?
Exactly. Totally. And I love the show.
And the episodes with Captain Jack are amazing.
Totally amazing.
Stephen Moffat, you rule.
Oh, he really does. Now, you know, aside from, you know, just this really cool, I think really cool idea, you know, like we said, John Barrowman is going to be back for Torchwood, The New World, as well as Eve Miles. And also,
I like how it's called The New World. Because it's like, you know, it's all like, it's America, and it, but it's like also just a new world after the 4, 5, 6, like the, all after all
after
that stuff.
Earth,
like,
yeah. You know, what's really cool about you know, British people is, you know, I think America,
their dry sense of humor.
Well, I think, oh yes, of course,
their awesome accent.
Well, I think, you know, it's been proven because of movies like Star Wars. So, you know, some American people, you know, consider British people kind of creepy. That's why the Death Star was, you know, nothing but British people. However, I would say that clearly British people think children are creepy. Because think about it. Think about all the children,
so right.
Like they totally, like, think of Children of Earth. It's all like the children, you know, talking all at the same time. And think of, like, you know, the Empty Child, the first episode with Captain Jack. It's like, you know.
So Americans are scared by British people, uh-huh. And British people are scared by children.
Yes, but what scares children?
Everything?
Americans? I have no idea. I have no clue.
Monsters?
What? If you want to know what scares children, watch Torchwood, The New World on Stars. Yeah. Anyway, and along with John Barrowman and Eve Myles, Kai Owen, who plays Reese, will also be there, too.
I already said that.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, you know,
although I didn't say him by name.
That was my little wrap-up.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's funny. When we were at the Being Human screening, Being Human panel at Comic-Con, apparently the big question was if Alonzo would be back.
Yes.
Because, well, you got the character from Being Human, Russell Tovey.
Yeah.
Who played this great character in Voyage of the Damned.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of got to show up in the final episode of Doctor of Doctor
Tennant's
Who, or,
last
yeah,
episode.
Tennant's last episode of Doctor
Which is
Who,
also
rather.
Russell Davis, yeah.
And so, you know,
The End of Time Part 2
with a little introduction to Jack.
Yes.
So, you know, to Alonzo and Jack. And so everyone apparently wants to know if Alonzo will be showing up in the new Torchwood, and we would not disapprove of that.
No, not at all. Yeah, Jack was kind of hanging out in a very Star Warsian type bar.
Yes.
You know, I expect to see Jabba in the background. Though there actually, I think there were some guys in the background that had showed up in seasons past.
Uh-huh.
And also, you know, what's really exciting is, you know, some of the writers are, you know, Russell T. Davies, which of course, you know, the guy, you know, brought Doctor Who back. And, you know, the whole reason Christopher Eccleston was even the Ninth Doctor was because he wanted to work with Russell T. Davies again.
I'm so, so glad that it's him. Like,
yes.
Like, you know, it just wouldn't be the same if he weren't the one bringing it.
I totally agree.
I think we'd be really skeptical, but I'm nothing but smiles about this.
I totally agree. And along with that, this is even more exciting. Guess who else is going to be one of the writers?
Who?
Jane Espenson.
No way.
Yeah, isn't
I had
great?
Not heard that.
Yeah. You know, we definitely want her focusing on Warehouse 13 because that's her show, but like this, we're okay for you to write for this.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's only 10 episodes.
Exactly.
You know, how
no
much time
deal.
Could it really take
yeah.
her like to be part of that?
Exactly.
Great. That's like, you know, one of our favorite, you know, British, British TV writers with one of our favorite American TV writers.
I would
like,
say,
oh my God, could you imagine being in that meeting of minds, you know, the room there, like, oh my God, I would just be in heaven.
I would say consistently Jane Espenson is my favorite TV writer.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, the work she's done on Buffy, on Battlestar Galactica, you know, I mean, she's just, I mean, Dollhouse, anything
Warehouse
Firefly,
13 is fantastic.
Anything Warehouse 13, anything Joss she's worked on, she's just a great writer. And
fantastic.
She's also one of the funniest writers out there,
mm-hmm.
by far. So I think, and you know, and that's the thing, you know, there is, you know, always a bit of that lightness. I think what a lot of people don't realize about Doctor Who is, you know, it's on tea time, so it's for kids, it's for
yes.
families. But Torchwood is definitely more adult themed.
Oh yeah.
So I think, you know, she rides that line very well.
Very well.
But actually,
she has just the right humor for it too.
She's perfect. She's great. But actually, we should take a break.
Yes, we should. We should actually take our final break
yes.
of this episode.
Can we talk about Twisty Head Lovin' and other kinds of crazy stuff going on this season of True Blood?
I think we could take a little time for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we will be back with you in just a moment.
Two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Thumpin' Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. And if you haven't been to our website lately, you've missed out on some videos because we've now started adding videos because we rock that hard.
Oh, yeah. Hardcore. And hopefully we'll have a few more videos up. We got a lot of stuff we've shot, so hopefully
I don't think we're going to to have it up by the time this airs.
No.
But soon.
Keep on taking back.
You know, those Leverage interviews that we played a couple weeks ago from Comic-Con, we have the video of those up now. So that's freaking awesome.
I love that Christian Kane one so much.
Oh, my God. Uncensored, by the way.
I keep on having to reload it because so many people are watching it. It's awesome. Yeah. Totally, totally rad. And, of course, Will Wheaton, Aldous Hodge, Beth Reese Graff, Timothy Hutton. I mean, Chris Downey, the co-creator. Mm-hmm. Totally, totally great. But now, we've done a lot of stuff this show.
Yes.
We talked about the Anabash already.
Yeah.
And we talked about... what else have we talked about? We read some memories of myself.
We did. We talked about cosplay in general.
Exclusive interview with my new nephew, Max.
Mm-hmm.
But now, we're going to talk a little bit about True Blood.
True Blood.
Now, this is the third season of True Blood, and it's been just awesome so far. You know, this is one of those shows that if you haven't heard of it, then you have literally been living under a rock. I mean, it is a huge hit show. You know, it helped HBO out
post-Sopranos.
They needed it. And it is, you know, it's based off a series of books by Sherling Harris, and it is just great. Great, great show.
I'm actually, like, this is one of those times where you watch the show and you go, man, I think I'd like to read those books.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know?
I totally agree.
Oh, man. I'm so excited.
Oh, I know. So, so one of the things I like about the show is the fact that, you know, they pretty much pick up right after the last season ended. You know, last season they had that demigod there that was pretty much messing
Marianne.
Yeah, exactly.
I love how Rutina Wesley said the name Marianne.
Oh, man.
Oh,
she's
my God.
So great.
I love her. And she moved so well.
Oh, how she moved. Yeah, she's just fantastic.
We saw that when we were at Comic-Con,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did. That was on TV. Yeah, she was like stomping on cars and blowing out the windows and stuff. It was wild. It was totally wild.
And she gets to dance this season.
Oh, me too. I think it was in Canada, too, now that I think about it. I think that movie was. But anyway, I think, like we said, you know, pretty much this season picked up right after where that one ended.
Yes.
You know, they got rid of her. I mean, I still love that. Even now, what is it, like six, seven episodes in, like, Sookie's house is still destroyed.
Yeah.
It's still messed up.
Well, it's like you said, they pick up right where they left off, so it's not like months and months haven't passed. It's all kind of been over a shorter period of time, and when exactly did she have the opportunity to clean that thing up when, you know, she was searching for Bill, and, like... Yeah, so there's been a lot going on and not much time for cleaning. And then, you know, Jason moved out now.
Yes, got his own place with Hoyt, yes. I think, like you said, you know, a lot of the season was about, so far, you know, Sookie looking for Bill because Bill got abducted at the end of the last season, right after he proposed to her.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, we find out about werewolves this season. You know,
werewolves.
You know, the first season, you know, it was all about vampires, and the second season, along with a shapeshifter.
Yep.
And the second season, you know, they had the Marianne character, and she had her sort of like demon sex orgy cults.
Yes.
And this season now we have werewolves. Werewolves that are working for a very evil vampire.
Werewolves and other things that if you've read the books, apparently you know. And and if somebody who, you know, heard about it told you really obnoxiously, then you know.
Yeah.
Or if you're like me, you have no idea.
Yeah, you know, I had this guy I used to work with, you know, nice guy and everything, but man, he pretty much told me what was up with Sookie, and it really pissed me off. And he's like, what? It's in the books. Like, yeah, but I haven't read the books, jerk.
Yeah, most people that are watching the show have not read the books and have not heard this yet, and I thank you for not telling me.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't do that. You know, that is, like, the lamest thing you can do.
Yeah.
You know, that is just, like, ugh, I hate that. I hate when people do it. That might be one of my biggest pet peeves. Like,
yeah.
I think really is one of my is, like, spoilers, or you need to say spoiler alert before you say this stuff, you know?
Can like put their hands over their ears and go meh.
Exactly. So let's see. So like we said, you know, there's werewolves this season, and they're not like the big being human old fashioned werewolves. You know, they're more
and they're not like, you know, long shorts
and no shirts.
Though
they are actually naked quite a lot because they need to, you know, because wolves can't wear clothes.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
But, like, you know, but when they're not being wolves, they're not running around in short pants and no shirts.
No, they're not. No, though apparently they do run hot just like those werewolves. Yeah, yes. We got to meet this new character, Alcide, who's a good werewolf. But a lot of the werewolves are not that good. And most
like
of them,
his ex, Debbie.
Yeah, Debbie, which, by the
way. Darn you, Debbie.
I mean, that actress is so great. I mean, she brings, like, trailer Hardcore Trash to a whole new level
yeah.
on the show. She's awesome. And, you know, the thing about these werewolves is they're all, you know, hooked on V. They're all hooked on vampire blood.
And that's all because of a vampire. Like, not like, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And Russell, yes, this super, the King of Mississippi, who's a 3,000-year-old vampire, which is, you know, I would say pretty old.
Yeah.
Pretty old, yeah. And so, you know, basically, you know, Sookie has been searching for Bill, and, you know, El Cid got sent to help her, that he was an ally of Eric's. And, you know, she finally got Bill because there was this whole thing going on with Russell, who was basically trying to take over Louisiana and basically wants to coup the planet, essentially.
He wants the vampires to take their rightful place above humans.
Yeah, he's like, you know, humans...
It's all about the food chain,
humans suck,
you know?
Humans are destroying the world, and remember what it used to be like back in the old days, 3,000 years ago? Of course, no one knows what it used to be like, because, you know, who else was around that long? But, you know, and also we get this great little side plot with Eric, mm-hmm. who basically, you know, we get a cool Viking flashback. Anytime
yeah.
we get an Eric Viking flashback, it totally rules. But basically, you know, we basically see him being the reluctant prince.
Yes.
And then, you know, going messing around with the wench over there, whatever they call them, you know, back in Viking days. And of course, you know, his whole family gets killed by werewolves and led by a vampire. And it's pretty clear that we find out that it was Russell because he has his father's crown.
And I like that your Norwegian brother-in-law, like, you know, he knows like some of the words that they're saying,
And
it's
exactly.
Like, yep. Yeah, that's totally right.
Exactly. Yeah, and
awesome.
You know, so that's a big part of, you know, what's going on this season is
yeah.
Eric getting his revenge. You know, and we've seen Eric very much in like a villainous capacity through at least the beginning of True Blood.
He's always kind of been villainous, but not, because the thing was that he was kind of like, you know, he was one of the older vampires
yeah.
in the area, and like, you know, was he a sheriff in the area?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
so,
he's a sheriff of Bondon.
Yeah, so, you know, he was kind of in a position of control.
Yes.
But, like, you know, he wasn't quite as villainous as he was in a position of control in a vampire community.
Well, I think he definitely, yes, and I think he definitely came off more villainous in the beginning, but
yeah.
as time goes on, you know, sort of making that transition that we expected. Because, you know, that's pretty commonplace now, but it's not a bad thing. And I gotta say, Alexander Skarsgård there is just fantastic this
yeah.
year. I mean, he's always good, but this year he's shining, like, big time.
One of the great things about this season is that, you know, in the other seasons, you had a pretty good idea of who really were the good people and who were the bad people or the kind of shifty people.
Yeah.
This season, it's all about you have no idea who's good, who's bad, who's shifty.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with you. I mean,
you know, everyone seems shifty. Even Sookie seems shifty.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Bill, you know, for a while, I have friends who were wondering what was going on with Bill. You know,
mm-hmm.
is he evil? Is he not?
And like, Tara is busy freaking out. Like, you know,
yes.
she pretty much freaks out every season for some reason or another. First season, she was freaking out about her mother. The second
yes.
season, she was freaking out with Marianne.
Yes.
This season, she,
and
well...
eggs.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This season, she's freaking out because, well, James Frayne came in and,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Franklin Mott, the living...
Franklin Mott was the... or possibly is. Don't really know
yes.
if he's gone or not.
Probably not gone.
I hope
yeah.
not.
We find, you know, you gotta either cut their heads off or stake them to actually kill them.
Yeah.
So we don't think he's dead. And, you know, James Frayne is just like... just all-starring this season like crazy. He's so good. He's so amazing. And the Franklin Mott character is just sadistically awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he's just, you know, he's kind of beyond, you know. It's pretty amazing what he's up to in the show. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the show never stops amazing. They never stop pushing the envelope. You know, the first few episodes had a ton of nudity in them. I think the first few episodes had probably, like 8 different people naked, like, throughout the entire episode. And, you know, in the violence, and we've already talked about, everyone's been talking about the head twisting thing a few episodes ago. That was just crazy.
Yeah.
That was the most nuts,
you know,
thing ever.
I gotta say, like, this last episode, you know, we watched in a room with your mother.
Yes.
And that, you know, watching True Blood with the, you know, with someone's mom is kind of awkward.
Very
I'm glad
awkward, yes.
it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
I am so glad it
yeah.
was not that episode.
I was actually thinking the same thing while we were watching that. You know, though, I'm sad to see her go. Bill's maker there.
Yeah.
She kind of kicked the bucket. Which I'm kind of sad
about.
It needed
to happen, but
yeah.
at the same time, you know, it's like, it feels like it wasn't, you know, she didn't have a long enough run, you
yeah.
know? She was like... sadistic, but not. No, oh, it was just crazy.
Oh, I loved her. She was just my style. She was cute and totally evil. I was like, oh, perfect. And the actress who plays was just fantastic.
I love how much Bill hates her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hated her, hated her, and she was just convinced that he underneath it all loved her and wanted her back. And,
totally.
Oh man, it's great.
And that whole True Blood postmortem, the one was like, you know, their little relationship in a nutshell.
Yes.
It was very fantastic. It was no Osuki, but you know, really, what is?
Yeah. I also like the one with this most recent one of how to deal with werewolves.
Yes.
Vampire's Guide to Dealing with Werewolves. But those online things, where they're interviewing each other, a Truby and Newbie?
Truby and Newbie, yeah.
Those are so funny.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched them, watch the one with Franklin Mott and Tara.
Yes.
You know, watch them with the Rutina Wesley and James Frain, because it is hilarious.
I totally agree. But man, last episode was so awesome. You know, we got to see... You know, it started off after, you know, Sookie was resurrected, basically, after Bill, you know, almost completely drained her. And, you know, they had a little bit of a breakup there. And, you know, it was a little slow in the beginning, but you could tell it was, like, you know, building up. And the end was just awesome. I mean, there was, like, a, you know, werewolves came after Sookie, and there was a chick fight that was totally radical.
Yeah.
You know, Bill and his little vampire there.
Jessica.
You know, they were both fighting werewolves, and then...
And he was training Jessica, and that was an awesome scene.
That was a great scene.
That was so well done.
Yeah. I mean, the special effects in the show are just great. You know, they're really, really well done. I love the speed effects on the vampires. I think they just look so great. And you know, I just like... The show is just freaky. Oh, and, you know, we'd be remiss not to mention the awesomeness, which is Don Swayze.
Oh, my God.
I mean, come on. The guy is just fantastic. And, you know, of course, you know, unfortunately, Patrick is not with us, but at least Don can be a naked werewolf running around and being crazy.
And then assuming that, and it looks like, though, Don might have ended his run on the show.
Yes.
We're not certain.
We don't quite know, yes.
But it looks like he might have ended his run there.
Yeah, I would think so, yes. But, you know, I can't imagine, you know, that one scene a few episodes ago where, you know, Sookie went undercover. You know, they gave her a wig and tattoos. And I believe the tattoo girl from Heroes gave her that makeover.
You're right.
But you know, all I could think of when they were in that bar and, you know, and Don Swayze was very, very rude. Not very chivalrous at all.
Not a gentleman at all.
No, all I could think of is
like...
Would
your brother approve?
Yes. All I could think of is that, you know, if Patrick was there from Roadhouse, he would have got kicked out. Like, big time.
Yeah.
That's all I could think about, you know? But this was not the Deuce or the Deuce or whatever that was called in Roadhouse, so that just didn't happen. That movie, by the way, is awesome. You've never seen Roadhouse.
I've never seen that, but I know.
It's like the greatest thing ever.
I will see it. We will see it.
Well, you know, pain don't hurt. That's a little Dalton wisdom right there you get from that movie. But, you know, I think one of my favorite parts about it was just, you know, I really liked when Russell flew away.
Yeah.
Like, he just flew upwards, you know?
Yeah, I don't think we've seen anyone do that.
No, you know, the closest thing we've seen is Eric fly out the window.
Oh, yeah, but essentially he was just jumping out of window
because
he's all strong.
Exactly.
But we don't know, like, can he fly? Did he just, like, jump really high? He was very, very upset when his man was...
Talbot!
Well,
you know, yeah, poor guy.
I love that he has Talbot and the queen has Hadley, who happens to be Sookie's cousin.
Yes. Yeah, and just
where's my Hadley?
And there was a, you know, there was a whole bunch of guy loving going on in this episode, but Eric did get his first part of his revenge, which was totally excellent. But yeah, you know, I think the thing is, you know, we're just gonna find out a lot more what's going on this season. You know, we're gonna find out why Bill has, you know, records on Sookie. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, we'll find out what's going on with Sookie. You know, it's just and also, you know, where this whole werewolf thing is going to resolve, because, you know, we found out pretty early on that, you know, not only does Eric have a vendetta against werewolves from when he was still human, which also, by the way, I felt that scene was very Lestat-y. If you ever read The Vampire Lestat, in like the first scene, well, not the first scene, he's a rock and roll star in the 80s.
Yeah.
But when they go back to his past, he like totally fights like a pack of wolves in like the very beginning of the book. You know, not only that, but also during World War II, he and Godric were also fighting werewolves too.
Mm-hmm. So Nazi werewolves.
Yeah, Nazi werewolves. So the worst kind, you know. How could you get worse than a werewolf in the show? It would be a Nazi werewolf. I can't. All I can say is that the show's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just spectacular. And Anna Paquin, oh man, my hat goes off to you.
Uh-huh.
Not only are you a great actress, like fantastic actress and super brave, but like super hot, and you know, all those things together are just fantastic. Truly fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you haven't been watching True Blood, you got to see it from the very beginning. And also, I have to say, the Jessica character, I love her.
I love her character. I love how it's like she's growing up. She's in her like more mature phase now, and she gets it, and she missed Bill when he came back. She was so happy to have him back, and like she loves Bill and Sookie, and she wants them to be together, and she's so upset about Hoyt, and she wants Hoyt. Oh man, I love this show.
Oh, it's so great, isn't it? I know, and you really fall in love with these characters. I mean, they're all so great, and they're all so deep, and I mean, it's such a great show, I really think it's the best written acted show on TV right now, without a doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of anything because the sky's the limit, and HBO is like, do whatever you want, Alan Ball. Whatever you want. Like, they could care less. Like, as long as people keep on watching the show, we could care less. And Alan Ball's one of these guys who, you know, he just gets better as time goes on. You know, we got American Beauty from him, we got 6 Feet Under, but really, for me, I mean, this is the best thing he's ever done.
Obviously, he's strayed some from the books. I mean, the Lafayette character in the books, from what I hear, died in the first, you know, would have died at the end of the first season in this show, but character was so popular that Alan Ball, like, he was able to create the new story, you know, create the storyline for Lafayette to fit into, and I think that's fantastic, and you know, I don't think that people disapprove at all of the divergences from the source material that he's made, because he also holds very true to too many parts of it.
Totally, and also, you know, you brought up a very good point, like, what's with the whole Jesus saying he has a lot of power, and mm-hmm. like, you know, like, you were
and
telling
what's
me.
With his mom, like, with Lafayette's mom being all like, you know,
Elfrey Woodard.
Yes.
It's totally awesome. But yeah, it's totally great. But actually, we really don't have much more time left.
Oh, so let's just wrap this up. And don't forget to tune in next week. Same time, same place. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Ciao.